Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 27 January, 2026, Zachariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we got the new issue of Israel, My Glory. This is the January-February issue. And there's an article from the editor, very good. It took more than 2 years, but finally, Israel has won the war in Gaza. The Jewish state decisively trounced Hamas, which ravaged southern Israel with wanton violence and murder on 7 October 2023. All the men, women, and children who survived Hamas captivity, some of whom suffered torture for 2 grueling years, have been returned to Israel. Will true peace now replace war? Absolutely not. Even if Hamas is officially rendered obsolete, its spirit will live on, satanically, and its operations will simply continue under a new name. As long as Jewish people live in their ancestral homeland, zealous groups of Muslim Arabs will seek to destroy them and drive them out. Sadly, Israel will never know true peace until Jesus, the Prince of Peace, returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on this earth. Since 1948, events that once were only dreams, God's words awaiting fulfillment, have come to pass. Now, 78 years later, modern generations have witnessed an ancient nation rise from historical ashes, return to its own land, and speak its almost dead language. Israel has endured and even won wars for survival, like the latest one in Gaza, in ways that can be explained only by God's power and protection. Truly, we live in one of the most unique eras in Jewish history. The prophet Amos, in the 8th century B.C., found himself in a pivotal period of Israel's history as well. Amos was a simple sheep breeder with no prophetic aspirations. Amos received the unpleasant task of chastising a newly peaceful and prosperous Israel. The Israelites had begun to enjoy their kingdom's security, but they wandered away from God and His Word. So God used a seemingly unqualified, insignificant man of the field to deliver this judgment message. Amos warned the people of God's impending judgment, but he also left them with hope. He concluded his scriptural oracles with a marvelous promise for the Jewish people. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land that I have given to them, says the Lord your God. Amos chapter 9, verse 15. Though Amos directed these warnings to Israel, his words also should drive believers to self-reflection in our own nation. Are we living for our own hedonistic pleasures and desires? Or are we subjecting our hearts and our actions to the rule of the King of all kings and Lord of all lords? God remains merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, and forgiving iniquity, Exodus 34, 6 and 7. May we align ourselves with His will as we study His Word and love His chosen people. Well, the editor started out with Amos because the emphasis on this issue is Amos. Next month is Andy. Zechariah chapter 5. We have seen the first five visions of Zechariah in the first four chapters. Vision number one was the rider on the red horse, chapter 1, verses 7 to 17. Vision number two were the four horns and four horn cutters, chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Vision number three was the surveyor, chapter 2. Vision number four was Joshua the high priest, chapter 3. And vision number five, the golden lampstand and the two olive trees, chapter 4. Now we are in chapter 5, and in chapter 5 we have vision number 6 and vision number 7. Vision number 6, the flying scroll, and vision number 7, the flying ephah. The flying scroll, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, that's where we are right now. Vision number 7, the flying ephah, chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. And then in chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, we have the final vision. Vision number 8, the four chariots. In those first five visions, those visions greatly encouraged and comforted the Jewish remnant returning from Persia and from Babylon. They revealed that the Lord would return to Jerusalem with mercy, give Israel victory over his enemies. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ would be the wall of fire of protection, reestablish and enlarge Jerusalem, purify and reinstate Israel's high priest, Joshua, remove the mountain of opposition that had stopped the rebuilding of the temple, and then assured the completion of the temple. That was the first five visions in the first four chapters. Now everything has turned. The last three visions, vision number 6, 7, and 8, take an abrupt turn. Instead of foretelling blessing, these last three visions are a stern warning of judgment. Judgment because of degeneracy and reversionism. Before Israel could experience the blessings, the land had to be purged from the individual and national degeneracy and reversionism. That's what we have in the last three visions. Vision number 6, the flying scroll. We've exegeted verses 1 through 3, and it sounds like this. Then I turned once again and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, I saw a flying scroll. And he, the teaching angel, said to me, Zechariah, what do you see? So I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits, that's 30 feet, and its width is 10 cubits, that's 15 feet. And then he, the teaching angel, said to me, Zechariah, this is the curse, divine judgment, that is going out over the face of the whole earth. Because, according to what it says, on one side of the flying scroll, everyone who steals, that is a criminal, will be banished, purged out. And according to what it says on the other side, everyone who swears falsely will be banished, purged out. Well, what Zechariah saw was a huge scroll, 30 feet long, 15 feet wide, flying swiftly through the sky like a long banner. God's law was inscribed on each side of the flying scroll. The eighth commandment was inscribed on one side, and the third commandment was inscribed on the other side. The dimensions of the flying scroll, 30 feet long and 15 feet wide, have a twofold significance. First of all, these are the dimensions of the holy place of the tabernacle, Exodus 26:15-25. And the holy place puts the spotlight on the believer's personal relationship with the living and true God, the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ. The holy place contains three things: the lampstand, Jesus Christ is the light of the world; the table of showbread, Jesus Christ is the bread of life; the golden altar of incense, representing the prayer life of the believer, coming to the throne of grace in prayer. Secondly, these are the dimensions of the porch of Solomon's temple, 1 Kings 6:3. The porch of Solomon's temple had one purpose. It was the place where the word of God was taught and exegeted. This was where the word of God was consistently and faithfully taught to the people. And this puts the spotlight on the importance of the word of God. There were some Jews who heeded the warning of Zechariah in Zechariah 2:6-7. And that warning was, and this is Zechariah 2:6-7, "Attention! Move out! Flee from the land of the north." The land of the north is Babylon. "Get your patootie out of Babylon and back to Judah and Jerusalem. Flee from the land of the north, Babylon, declares the Lord Jesus Christ, because I have scattered you like the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord." Verse 7, "Attention! Get going, O Zion! Escape, you who are still living with the daughter of Zion." So there were some Jews who heeded the warning of Zechariah in chapter 2:6-7. And they left Babylon, and they came back to the southern kingdom, Judah. And they turned back to God and to the word of God. Biblical repentance. They came back between 520 and 518 B.C., just before God disciplined and punished the Jews who stayed behind. The Jews who remained in Babylon remained in reversionism, and they came under severe divine discipline. And that is the curse of verses 3 and 4. Therefore, the dimensions of the flying scroll is God's way of putting the spotlight on what is truly important in our life. This is dogmatically declaring that the spiritual priorities of God and His Word should be the absolute most important thing in your life. Unfortunately, this was not the thinking of many of the Jews. For many of the Jews, the details of life were more important than God and more important than the Word of God. And Haggai, the contemporary prophet in Zechariah's day, taught this in Haggai 1:9-11. Many other Jews refused to heed the warning of Zechariah 2:6-7. So they stayed in Babylon. They didn't want to come back to Jerusalem. They didn't want to come back where the temple and the Shekinah glory, the living and true God, Jesus Christ, would be dwelling. And they are violating the eighth commandment of Exodus 20, verse 15, you shall not steal. And they were violating the third commandment, Exodus 20, verse 17. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. And that's a mandate against crime. Being a thief includes being a robber, being a murderer. It means you have no respect for the privacy and property and life of others. When crime is rampant in a society, that nation will be destroyed. And that's exactly where we are in the United States of America right now. Crime is rampant in America. And the liberals, the Democrats, the socialists are supporting them, condoning them, and have no respect for law enforcement, no respect for the police officer, no respect for ICE. ICE is fulfilling the Constitution of the United States of America. They are 100% right in being there and getting the criminals out. But their criminals are being protected in Minnesota. They're being protected by the socialists, the liberals, the Democrats. They're protecting, and that, I'll tell you right there, we don't deserve to be here as the client nation of God. We're destroying ourselves from within. We no longer stand up for what's right, for the law-abiding citizen. We no longer stand up for law enforcement and law and order. We no longer stand up for that. Now, it's crime. Now, you can steal billions of dollars through fraud, and that's totally okay. We have these sanctuary cities, and all these sanctuary cities is where criminals live and survive in sanctuary cities. There should never be any sanctuary cities. They should be called criminal cities, where the criminals live. And then nobody can touch them. So the eighth commandment, you shall not steal, is a mandate against crime. Being a thief, being a criminal, means you have no respect for privacy and property. You have no respect for the life of others. When crime is rampant in a society, that will destroy the nation. Crime is destroying the United States of America today. The liberals are supporting crime through the sanctuary cities, condoning crime. They're soft on crime. And they are a major part of the apostasy and degeneracy of Client Nation USA. See, we're studying an Old Testament book, Zechariah, and it applies exactly to what's going on right now in the United States of America. Exactly what's going on. Zechariah 5:3 declares that God's curse will fall on every thief, every criminal, every murderer, those who break the eighth commandment. This curse is going out over the face of the whole earth. Zechariah 5, verse 3. Not only on the remnant of Jews that have returned to Israel, but also on those Jews who refuse to heed Zechariah's warning in Zechariah 2, 6, and 7. Now, we exegeted the first three verses, and we were just beginning to summarize what we had in those first three verses. And I think you have 5 points. You got 5 points? Anybody got six? No? So let's take a look at those 5 points and then continue our summary. One, breaking the third commandment, swearing falsely, is putting the spotlight on dishonest business practice. Breaking the third commandment, swearing falsely, is putting the spotlight on dishonest business practice. Two, this is why many Jews totally refuse to heed Zechariah's warning in Zechariah 2, 6, and 7. They refuse to come back to Israel. They were making millions in Babylon, Mesopotamian Valley. Three, they stayed in Babylon because God and the Word of God, they were not important to them at all. If God, the living and true God, Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, was important, if the Word of God was important, they would listen to God's servant, Zechariah, and move out immediately and head back to Judah and Jerusalem. But it's not important. God and the Word of God is not important to them. But I'll be real honest. We have a lot of Christians in America, but God and the Word of God is not important to them either. God and the Word of God is not important to them either. You see, the spiritual priorities of God and His Word were not important to these Jews. Four, the Jews in Babylon were worshiping the mighty dollar. Wealth, money. Five, money became their god. And as a result of dishonest business practice, the Jews in Babylon did not heed Zechariah's warning, just as believers today in the client nation, United States of America, we are not heeding. The Apostle Paul has the same warning, the exact same warning for us from the Apostle Paul. And we ended with that last time. We're going to start with that tonight. 2 Timothy 3. So turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote before his martyrdom. The Apostle Paul was martyred. He was perhaps the greatest believer of all time, winner believer. He glorified God to the maximum. He received the greater grace blessing package, but he also received that highest of all honors, to wear the mantle of undeserved suffering. And he did wear the mantle of undeserved suffering, but the highest of the undeserved suffering is martyrdom. And that is only for very, very few, the best of the best of believers. Paul received martyrdom, decapitated. Isaiah received martyrdom. Isaiah, And how did he receive martyrdom? He was sawn in two while he was alive. Sawn in two. Martyrdom. That is the greatest honor. He has the most phenomenal blessings as a result of that. Peter was crucified upside down. Martyrdom. Crucified upside down. And martyrdom is, well, undeserved suffering for blessing. Wearing that mantle is the highest of all the greater grace blessings in that package. But martyrdom is the best of the best. And there are a few believers, not all believers, but a few believers like Paul, like Peter, like Isaiah, who go all the way through martyrdom. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. That's certainly America. Lovers of money. That's America. What's going on? Fraud. In all these liberal democratic cities, fraud, fraud, billions of money being taken from law-abiding citizens and given to criminals. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without virtue love, unforgiving, slanderous, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of divine good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's the Jews in Babylon. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. So money became their god as a result of dishonest business practice. 6. So they didn't want to go back to Judah. They did not want to go back to Jerusalem, where the temple was, where the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, the living and true God, resided, because that meant absolutely nothing to them. They didn't want to go back to Judah. They didn't want to go back to Jerusalem. Because the temple that was rebuilt, and how great. Here, who was the leader of Persia at this time? Darius the Great. And what did he tell them? I want you to go back to your land, and here's what I want you. I want you to rebuild the temple where the living and true God lives and resides. I want you to go back and rebuild the temple for the living and true God. Here, let's see, Persia is today Iran. Winter believers in Iran at that time. Not any winter believers in Iran at this time. So they didn't want to go back to Judah because Jerusalem and the temple and the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, meant absolutely nothing to them. 7. They didn't want to leave Babylon because they were making lots of money. Dishonestly, but they were making lots of money. They were living in beautiful mansions. They were acquiring great estates. Why would they want to leave that? They were lovers of money and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Just as the Apostle Paul declared. And that's where the United States of America is right there. 8. So they weren't about to go back to Jerusalem, where there was the temple, where the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, would reside. They didn't want to go back and worship the living and true God. Why? They're living in great prosperity in the Mesopotamian Valley. Why would we want to leave that? So they weren't about to go back to Jerusalem. 9. These Jews were reversionists. God and the Word of God meant nothing to them. These Jews were reversionists, and God and the Word of God meant nothing to them. They're making fantastic fortunes. They are enjoying great pleasures. They are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have great social life and friends and materialistic things and status symbol. Why would they want to leave that? 11. In verse 4, they will all come under horrific, horrific divine judgment. That's what Zechariah is warning. In the sixth vision, the flying scroll, they will all come under horrific divine judgment. So again, verses 1 through 3. Then I turned once again and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, I saw a flying scroll. And he, the teaching angel, said to me, Zechariah, what do you see? So I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits or 30 feet. Its width is 10 cubits or 15 feet. And then he, the teaching angel, said to me, Zechariah, this is the curse. This is divine judgment that is going out over the face of the whole earth. Because according to what it says on one side of the flying scroll, everyone who steals, the criminal, will be banished, purged out. And according to what it says on the other side, everyone who swears falsely will be banished and purged out. A curse of divine judgment. All right. Verse 4 starts out, and we always start with the King James. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the Hifil perfect of Yatsah, plus the cow passive participle of Na'am, plus the tetragrammaton with the plural of Tzava. Yatsah Y-A-T-S-A Aleph, Yatsah. A couple of things. One, in the Kal stem, Yatsah means to go out or to come out in the Kal stem. But we don't have the Kal stem. Point two, in the Hifil stem, and that's what we have, the Hifil stem is the causative stem of the Hebrew. It means to cause to go out. to cause to come out, to cause to bring out, to lead, to cause to lead out, to cause to send out. Point three, the subject of the verb is Jehovah Tsevaoth. We've had that many times. Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, is the subject. He is caused to send out. The Lord Almighty, He is caused to send out. And what is He caused to send out? The curse, divine judgment over the land. And then the verb na'am, to declare. So a corrected translation sounds like this. The Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, declares, I am caused. And what is causing Him to send out this judgment? His holiness. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And that causes Him to send out judgment. The Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, declares, I am caused to send out, and send out, it says it, and it is the curse, the divine judgment of verse 3. And it shall enter into the house of the thief, it says in the King James. This is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the cal perfect of the verb bo, plus the preposition el, joined by a makef to bayeth, plus ganav with the definite article. The conjunction vav is a conversive vav, converting the perfect of bo into an imperfect. And the verb bo looks like that in the Hebrew. B, long O, aleph, bo. The verb bo means to come in, to go in, to enter, and then we have el bayeth. El is the preposition to, bayeth is the word house, into the house. And then into the house of the ganav. G-A-N-N-A-B, ganav. And ganav is the word for the thief or the criminal. The criminal. So, corrected translation. The Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, declares, I am caused, caused from His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, to send out a curse, divine judgment. And it, this divine judgment, will enter the house of the criminal, the thief. Will enter the house of the criminal, the thief. And into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. This is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the preposition el, joined by a makef to the noun bayeth, plus the cal active participle of shava with the verb shakar, plus the preposition bath prefixed to the noun shame with the first person singular suffix. Now the vav here is a connective vav, correctly translated and. And then we have el bayeth again, el the preposition to, into, bayeth house, and into the house. And then we have the cal active participle of shava with the verb shaker, and the participle is a substantival participle. It functions as a noun, and therefore it is correctly translated the one who swears falsely. The one who swears falsely. And then the preposition bath in or by, and then the first person singular suffix of shame my name, by my name. So the corrected translation, the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, declares, I am caused from his holiness, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, to send out a curse, divine judgment, and it will enter the house of the criminal and into the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. And then we have, and it shall remain in the midst of his house. This is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the cal perfect of lun, plus the preposition baith, prefixed to the noun tavek, plus the noun byeth once again with the third person singular masculine suffix. The conjunction vav is a conversive vav. This is very common in Hebrew. And the conversive vav converts the perfect of lun into an imperfect. And the verb lun looks like this. L long U N. So you thought it was L double O N, but it's L long U N, loon. And literally, loon means to lodge or to spend the night. Figuratively, loon means to remain, to abide, to remain. And the subject of the verb is the curse. The divine judgment will remain. This divine judgment will remain. It's horrific judgment on these Jews in reversionism. God and the Word of God is not important to them. They are in reversionism. They have lots of money. They're really living high on the hog, but that will come to an end. And that mansion that they're living in and all of the God's judgment will come in and totally destroy them, totally destroy their mansions and all their possessions. All their money is gone. They're gone. It's all gone. So, loon figuratively means to remain. The subject is the curse. The divine judgment will remain. And then the preposition baith means in, with the noun tavek. That's T-A-V-E-K, tavek. And tavek means the midst of, and then byeth is the word for house with the third person singular masculine suffix, in his house, in the midst of his house, the reversionist house. Corrected translation, and the curse, the divine judgment, will remain in the midst of his house, the reversionist house, his mansion, and shall consume it. And this is, you can't consume it more than this. Consume it with its timber, its timber and its stones, all of it. Everything. So this is the conjunction vav, prefix to the PL perfect of kala, plus the plural of the noun eitz, plus the plural of the noun even. The conjunction vav, once again, conversive vav, converting the perfect of kala into an imperfect. Now, kala looks like this in the Hebrew. K-A-L-A-H, kala. And kala means, in the cal stem, It means to be complete or at an end or to be finished or to be accomplished or to be spent. That's the Cal stem. But we don't have the Cal stem. We have the PL stem. And the PL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. And it means to put an end to cause to cease, to destroy. So we have kala in the PL stem, the intensive stem of the Hebrew, to put an end to cause to cease, to destroy. And this is the entire bayith. And they didn't live in houses, they lived in mansions. This is the entire bayith. It includes the eights, I-N-E-T-S, eights. Eights is the word for trees or wood or timbers of a house. And their houses were made with wood and even. Olive, E-B-E-N, even. Even is the word for stones of the house. They made it out of wood and stone. And the entire mansion is destroyed. So the corrected translation, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, declares, I am caused by his absolute righteousness and perfect justice to send out a curse, divine judgment, and it will enter the house of the thief, the criminal, and into the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. And the curse, the divine judgment, will remain in the midst of his house and destroy it completely, both its timbers and its stones. One. This divine judgment came upon those Jews who violated the eighth commandment, you shall not steal, the criminals, and those who violated the third commandment, to swear falsely by the Lord's name. This divine judgment came upon those Jews who violated the eighth commandment, you shall not steal, criminal activity, and those who violated the third commandment to swear falsely by the Lord's name. Two, the Jews in Babylon were well known for robbing pagan temples. The Jews in Babylon were well known for robbing pagan temples. Three, these Jewish gangs entered idolatrous temples and stole all the precious stones. Gold, silver, all the precious stones. Four, these Jewish gangs made a fabulous fortune stealing from the pagan temples in Babylon. These Jewish gangs made a fabulous fortune stealing from the pagan temples in Babylon. 5. Other Jews were making a fantastic fortune through dishonest business practices, swearing falsely in the Lord's name. Other Jews were making a fantastic fortune through dishonest business practices, swearing falsely in the Lord's name. Six, they were making lots and lots of money dishonestly. And they were living in beautiful homes, mansions. And they were acquiring great estates. They were making lots and lots of money dishonestly, living in beautiful homes and mansions, acquiring great estates. Seven. They are going to be hit with divine judgment where it hurts them the most. Their money is gone. Their mansions are gone. Their great estates are gone. They are going to be hit with divine judgment where it hurts them the most. 8. In verse 4, house refers to the details of life. The details of life. Nine, Zechariah wrote this in 520 BC. By 518 BC, these Jews who stayed in Babylon were completely destroyed and wiped out. Zechariah wrote this in 520 BC. By 518 BC, these Jews who stayed in Babylon were completely destroyed and wiped out. Ten, this is a warning about what is absolutely going to happen to them. This is the warning about what is absolutely going to happen to them. 11, the details of life. The details of life, their great mansions, the millions of dollars are all going to be gone, 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 destroyed and gone. The details of life, their great mansions, the millions of dollars are all going to be gone. Totally destroyed. So verse 4 again. The Lord of the armies declares, I am caused from His holiness to send out a curse, divine judgment. And it will enter the house of the criminal and into the house of the one who swears falsely in my name. And the curse, the divine judgment, will remain in the midst of his house and destroy it, both its timbers and its stones. Okay. Now you see, this is vision number 6. The first 5 visions were all very encouraging visions, first 5. The last 3, 6, 7, and 8, God just lets them have it. That's, and this is just the sixth vision. This is the flying scroll. Wait, we get to the flying ephah. Next is the flying ephah. And then the four chariots. By the time that's over, well, you will be saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. You know. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God, the Holy Spirit, challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.